Be reading the word of God from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, we'll focus on the first part of verse 17, but we'll read the whole passage. This is God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Amen. Well, let's pray. Our Lord and God, we pray that you would give us the help of the Holy Spirit, that we may pay attention to your word, that we might seek your law with all our heart, and that we might delight in it and not forget it. For we know that we are so often blind to your word and deaf to hear your word. But we're thankful for the promise that the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. And so help us, Lord, to see today the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, God's word in this passage of Scripture is equipping us for spiritual battle. We are brought into a spiritual battle because we're united to Jesus Christ, and we're told here to put on battle gear, to put on armor for the Christian life, to survive, to stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine dressing for battle. You know the battle is out there raging, and you're there getting prepared for it. Imagine all of the things, all of the emotions and the thoughts that would flood your mind and your heart. Now imagine getting ready for that battle. All the questions that would come up. Am I going to survive this battle? It's a good question. What am I going to go through in this battle in order to survive? What is all the trials and struggles that I'm going to face? Is my side going to win? Do I have all the equipment I need in order to fight? In the heat of battle, imagine how difficult and how much stress it would be to prepare, to make sure that you have all of the equipment that you need, all the right gear to face that battle. In college, random fire alarms would go off in our dorm, and you didn't know how long it would be until you could go back into your dorm, so you knew you needed to get your stuff. And a lot of stuff to study, a lot of stuff, a lot of clothes. You didn't know how long it was going to be. It could be 4 or 5 hours. Fire alarms going off. What do you get? Well, maybe your computer. Pants. That's a great thing. I never forgot those, thankfully. You got to make sure you have all the right stuff. You go and you're all set. You get all your stuff and you go to open your laptop in the library. You realize you don't have your charger. Bummer. You're not ready. In the heat of the moment, it can be really difficult to make sure that we're prepared, that we have everything that we need in this battle, how much more so in this spiritual battle, where our eternal souls are at stake. It's hard. It's hard. But as we think about this battle, we need to remember what God's word teaches us about spiritual warfare. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. Everything you need. There is nothing lacking in him for this spiritual battle. You don't need to go around running everywhere and panicking, wondering, where will I go to be prepared? It's all in him. Everything is in him. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and power and grace and salvation. Everything is in him. That's the overall effect of this passage, and that's the point that we really need to get. Some people will spend so long preaching and spend five sermons on one of these pieces of armor. And they dissect it so much that you get into all the details and they miss the overall picture of what's going on. You are well equipped in Jesus Christ. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. It's all there for you in him. But it's also important to remember that we're called to dive deeper and deeper into the mysteries and the glories of the gospel. We're called to grow and to mature and to learn more of all of the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. We're called to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. We can't sit back and say, well, I've been saved, I'm all set. We can't do that. We have vastly misunderstood our enemy if we think we can do that. We've misunderstood the purpose of salvation, that he's called you into fellowship with him and to grow and to mature. We can't sit back. It's one of Satan's temptations to keep us spiritual infants. We're called to grow. We're called here to put on the whole armor of God, not a part of it. The whole armor. Don't leave any aspect of your life to chance. Don't leave your life open and vulnerable. You need to know the resources that you have, and you need to use the resources that you have in Jesus Christ. We're called here really to put on the whole Christ. That's how we're strong in the Lord, to put on the whole Christ. Part of Christ won't do. I don't want part of Christ. I want the whole of Christ. That should be what you want, the whole of Christ. And so we go into this battle with a focus, not a panic, not worrying, are we gonna have everything we need to be successful in the spiritual battle, because it's all in him. But we also go into this battle knowing that we need to grow, that we need to put on the whole armor, that we need to pay attention to everything that Christ gives us for this spiritual battle. And in this spiritual battle, we need to have our heads kept. Kids, when you go out riding your bike, what is the one thing your parents tell you? Put on a helmet. You need to put on your helmet. Why do you need to put on a helmet? Because head injuries can be serious. Because it can be a big deal to injure your head. Because it's very important that above all, you keep your head safe. If you scuff your elbow, you'll survive. If you scuff your knee, you'll survive. You can even fall and break something. But if you keep your head safe, it'll be okay. You know how dangerous it is, isn't it, to have head injuries? How dangerous it can be to have a blow to the head. And in the battle we're against, in this spiritual battle, we're against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're up against the schemes of the evil one. We need to keep our heads safe. We need to be guarded. Guarded from fatal blows. Guarded, you could say, from decapitation. That's a good thing to be guarded from, isn't it? In the Roman world, the helmets were made of bronze, usually, heavy. They had some felt lining, but they were made of bronze, and they had things that came down and covered your cheeks and things that came down and covered your neck. So they protected your whole head, not only from getting blows, but from being cut off. That was a good thing. You didn't want to be decapitated. We need to be guarded from being destroyed in the Christian life. Paul calls Satan the destroyer. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:10 that they grumbled and were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul says that before he became a Christian, that he sought to destroy the church. There's someone seeking to destroy you, to keep you from faith in Jesus Christ, to destroy your good confession. The good confession that we heard today, there is someone seeking to destroy you. We need to be guarded from fatal blows. But we also need to be guarded from blows that aren't fatal, but that discombobulate, that confuse, that injure our heads from functioning. There's a phrase, isn't it? A wonderful phrase, don't lose your head. To lose one's head is different than losing your mind. To lose one's head is to lose control and to not act calmly. To act without composure. To lose control of your emotions. To lose control and to act irrationally. To become unable to act in a sensible way. That's what we say to one another, right? Don't lose your head here. Don't lose it. Stay controlled. Stay composed. It's to lose control of oneself, to fall to pieces, to panic, to get confused, or the best synonym I found was to throw a wobbly. To throw a wobbly. I think it's a British saying. I have no idea what it means. If only we had a British pastor. But alas, we do not anymore to tell us what these things mean. To throw a wobbly, it means something like go into a fit of anger, to lose your cool. That's what the evil one tempts us to do, tempts us to not walk in a worthy manner of our calling. He tempts us to live according to that old way of life, to live in the darkness and not in the light. And that's why over and over and over the New Testament is saying, you are in the light, walk in the light. Do not walk in the darkness anymore. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. But the evil one tempts us to lose our heads. And he attacks us, to injure us, to discombobulate us, so that we do not take every thought captive, so that we do not live in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we throw a wobbly, whatever that means. We don't want to lose our heads. Isn't that Satan's tactic? To get us so that we do not walk in the light of Jesus Christ. So we start to panic. That we fall to pieces. That we lose control of ourselves. But there's nothing like a good helmet, is there? A good helmet to protect you that enables you to do what you need to do. To give you confidence. To live the Christian life, you need a helmet. Sometimes we think that in the Christian life, we're not really in a spiritual battle. So we don't wear a helmet. We wear something like a visor. Now, I have nothing against visors. But in warfare, a visor is not going to be good. A visor might be good for, playing golf. I don't know. Something that's not, or tanning that part of your head if you need to. A visor is not good for warfare. It will not protect you from blows that destroy you and injure you. We need a helmet. And the helmet you and I are called to put on is the helmet of salvation. Take up the helmet of salvation, God's word says. We could translate that a little bit more clearly. Take up the helmet which is salvation. Salvation is that helmet. When you think about it in that way, that's awesome. That the thing that protects your head is salvation. Paul is drawing from Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 says, speaking of God, that he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. It's a beautiful picture. Here's God's people, lost in their sin, helpless. He saw that there was no one to help them. What does he do? He decks himself out in warrior clothing to come to rescue his people. And he puts as a helmet salvation on his head. It's his helmet. And he says, here, try that on. This is my helmet of salvation. Here, put that on. This is what I've done for you. That'll protect you. This is what I've accomplished in salvation. Salvation is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that he's saved us. It's our greatest need. Our greatest need is not simply knowledge. It's not simply an education. Isn't that so often how the world approaches subjects? Well, all we need to do is educate one another about this. That's good. It's good to be educated. It's good to have knowledge. It's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is that we need to be rescued, that we need to be delivered, that we need to be saved. We are captives, God's word says. We were slaves to sin. Sin reigned over us. We were in the darkness. Psalm 107 gives a picture of this. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So we bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two barns of iron. That's what God does in salvation. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were captives in sin, unwilling and unwanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, in darkness, alienated from life. But God has freed us. He saved us. He's delivered us from that darkness of sin. He saved us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. When? While we were dead in our trespasses. He saved us. Rescues us. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he did what? Saved us. He's delivered and rescued us from sin and death, from that entire world of living without God, that entire darkness of thinking that we are pursuing our own freedom, of pursuing the things that will fulfill us when really we're pursuing death. He takes us and he makes us new. He puts us into a whole new order of serving God, a whole new order of being truly human and what it means to be truly human in fellowship with God and serving him, finding in him truth and light and life. He saved us. There's three aspects of salvation that Paul draws our attention to in the book of Ephesians. The first is that God from all eternity has determined to save us. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because God, from before the foundation of the world, determined to save you. Isn't that astonishing? Can you think of any better helmet than that your salvation is secure within the decree of God? What can get in the way of that? Nothing. A lot less than not much. Nothing. That from before the foundation of the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has set their love on you. That the Father has said to the Son, Son, go save them. And the Son willingly and freely agreed and said, I will be their Savior. I will do everything it takes to bring them back into fellowship, to bring them true and everlasting life. You are the love gift from the Father to the Son. It's astonishing. That is a helmet for you. Take that up. But there's not only this past reference to salvation, it's also a present possession that you now have salvation. You are now saved, that Christ came and died and rose and ascended on high. He's given you the Holy Spirit so that now you possess salvation. Right now, that if you are in Jesus Christ by faith, you have salvation. You've been made alive with Christ. You've been seated with him in the heavenly places. You've been brought from death to life. You've been brought from captivity to freedom. You've been transferred into a new domain where Jesus Christ rules. That's where you are now. In the new creation, already breathing that heavenly air, which means that the powers and the rulers and the authorities that seek to destroy you and seek to harm you have no power. They've been disarmed. You're in Christ's order now. Christ rules you. Christ has saved us from the reign and the dominion of sin, and he is now freeing us from the presence of sin in our lives. And so Paul says, let not sin therefore reign, because you are not under law, but under grace. Sin will not have dominion over you. That's a promise. That is a promise. Sin will not have dominion over you because you're under grace. Sometimes salvation is like this. We had this old boss who was terrible, and we didn't even know it because it's the only job we had. And it was the worst job on the planet. And finally, another boss comes and takes us out of that job. And we realize as we're in this new job how awful the old job was. But sometimes that old boss, some of you are saying, this is an exact scenario I'm in. Sometimes that old boss comes along and starts to tell you what to do. And you listen to him. You forget, wait a minute, I don't need to listen to you anymore. I'm in this whole new order. I listen to another boss now. I serve another master now who is good and gracious and merciful. You see, we have been transferred to a new dominion. You enjoy that now, presently. God now protects you. That's a helmet. His salvation protects you from death blows, from the evil one seeking to destroy you, from seeking to cause you to lose your mind so that you live according to that old way. Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians. He says that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You see, his salvation protects you. It keeps you safe. That's a helmet for you. Not only is it from all eternity, and not only is it a present possession, but salvation is also a future reality. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's very similar to our passage here, but he says that the helmet is the hope of salvation, that there is a hope that we're looking forward to. He says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a coming day of salvation. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's what God is doing. That's what God will do. He goes on again in verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. We haven't fully acquired possession of it. Praise God for that. This isn't all that's coming. There's a lot more. There's a day when Christ will come and salvation will be fully revealed and fully enjoyed. I do not like spoilers. Some of you know that. I go to extreme lengths to avoid spoilers. But this is one spoiler I love knowing. This is a spoiler that you should love knowing. This is the ultimate spoiler. Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ has won, and Jesus Christ will win. That Jesus Christ is coming to bring full salvation, the new heavens and the new earth. There's a spoiler for you. Praise God for that spoiler. It is glorious that Christ will appear, that your eyes will see him, that you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. That Jesus Christ is coming a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are waiting eagerly for his appearing. What a glorious day when we'll receive resurrection bodies, when we will be completely rid of our sin. You will never be tempted again. When God will be perfectly glorified in you. Imagine the singing on that day. Glorious. That's hope. That's hope. Hope isn't, well, I hope the Red Sox make the playoffs this year. That's not hope. It might be a vain hope this year. I don't know. I'm such a bandwagon fan that I don't even know. Let me know when they're in the playoffs. That's not hope. Hope isn't, well, I hope you get that new job. That is just some sort of well-wishing, vague optimism. That's not a helmet. That's more like a fedora. I don't know. It's not a helmet for you. Hope is sure. Hope is certain. Hope is that whatever the future holds the coming of Jesus. That's what the future holds. That's hope. It's sure. It is going to happen. It's certain. It's that whatever the future holds, that Christ Jesus will make us more than conquerors. It's that whatever the future holds, Jesus Christ will save his people. That Jesus Christ will finish his work that he began in you. That's hope. Sure. Certain. It's the hope of salvation, which helps us to fight now. It helps us to fight now because we know that this is happening. And it opens a way before our feet, even if that way is just the smallest little glimmer of light. It opens our way to step forward into that uncertain future to say, well, Jesus Christ will finish his work. Jesus Christ will save. Jesus Christ will return, so I can step forward. And all the uncertainties that life brings, and all the difficulties that life brings, I have hope. And hope is the best of things. It's hope. We need protection. We need to be guarded and kept safe. And salvation is that helmet that keeps you safe. So then, take it up. Take it up. Take up the helmet of salvation. To take up the helmet of salvation is quite simply to take hold of salvation by faith. It's finished in Jesus. It's accomplished in him. You can't add anything to it. You can't make it better. You can simply take hold. The struggle in the Christian life is simply to believe that the gospel is true, isn't it? And to live in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But take hold of it. Take hold of the salvation that you have. Feed and nourish your mind with the truths of your salvation. That Christ saves completely, entirely, gloriously, that he's saved you and that you are safe in him. The first time I took Micaiah on a tractor, it was a lawnmower, he was terrified, screaming, you know, but I held him and I said, you're safe. It's okay. The second time, a little bit fewer tears. Third time, he cried when I took him off the tractor. And now I can't get him off. Was he any safer? Second, third, fourth time? No. See, that's what taking hold means. It means more and more and more recognizing the salvation that you have in Jesus. How safe you are. How secure you are. How it's a helmet that protects you. And as you take up the helmet of salvation, you'll grow in confidence. You'll resist the schemes of the devil. You'll abound in hope. You'll be ready and alert to stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ because Christ saves us completely. And so have you believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation? Are you believing the gospel of your salvation today? Take up the helmet of salvation. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we thank you that you saved us even while we were dead in our trespasses. We thank you that we are saved in Christ and that one day we will be saved entirely, completely. And so we pray that you would preserve us, protect us until that great day. Be merciful in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.